Ever wondered how to bring the magic of nature play into your child's education? Or how to say goodbye to your worries about snakes and ticks? Well, with Nature Play Now, crafting an epic outdoor program is easier than you think. You'll boost your confidence, skill sets, and have parents eager to enroll. Join the adventure for just $57 exclusively for Raising Wildlings listeners. Visit our Raising Wildlings website for more details today.
For a long time, I felt like I was in a battle with my children, yelling, threatening, guilt, and shame were the tools that I use most. And that was until I found that there is another way. We're going to be using the term respectful communication, and we would love to share our ideas on why you might like to try this powerful tool of connection with your family. Welcome to Raising Wildlings, a podcast about parenting, alternative education, and stepping into the wilderness, however that looks, with your family.
Each week, we'll be interviewing experts that truly inspire us to answer your parenting and education questions. We'll also be sharing stories from some incredible families that took the leap and are taking the road less travelled.
We're your hosts, Vicky and Nikki from Wildlings Forest School. Pop in your headphones, settle in, and join us on this next adventure.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Raising Wildlings podcast. In this episode, we are going to discuss our road to finding peaceful, gentle approaches to raising our children. If you've already tuned into the podcast, you may have already heard from some of the people who have inspired us to follow this path to respectful parenting. And we hope to bring you many more in the coming episodes. But today, we wanted to share with you why we wholeheartedly value working in cooperation with our own children, and also the children we care for in our Nature Play program. Morning, Vicky. I hear you're still over at Moreton Island right now. Tell us a little bit about that.
I surely am. It's been amazing. I guess because there's no guests staying where I am at the moment, we have this amazing idyllic island to ourselves, which has been phenomenal.
Sounds so good. The marine biologist in you must be loving life.
Loving life over here.
All right, so let's get started. Today's about respectful parenting. So Vicky, can you talk to us about what respectful parenting is?
Yeah, I think it's really as simple as it sounds. It's treating children in the same way that we want to be treated as adults. And yeah. I think that the main thing about this philosophy is that we are including children's voices in conversations that typically we leave them out of.
That's really important.
It is, and it's not mistaking our role as a parent, because it's really important to keep in mind that it's our job to keep them safe. It's our job to make sure that we set appropriate boundaries. But it's also important for us to teach them how to listen to other people's perspectives and to empathize with others. So making the right choice for the right reasons. And I think sometimes we want them to learn that, but we don't actually give them an opportunity to practice that.
You just hit the parent in me right in the heart. Just to clarify, to go back, so respectful parenting isn't do whatever the F you want parenting,
no.
Right? It's not my child wants to eat lollies all day, so I'm just going to let them do that.
No, but it is about having a conversation. We can't expect them to learn how to create boundaries for themselves. We can't expect them to understand other people's perspectives if we don't actually listen to their perspectives as children.
Yeah. And to model it.
And to model that. It's the most important part, is that children learn the most by watching our actions. We can say whatever we want till we're blue in the face, but if we're saying it in a way that isn't respectful, they're not learning that.
You know, they're our biggest mirrors.
And it is. And it's, you know, we're never going to get it perfect all of the time. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. Okay, so respectful parenting really comes down to around 4 main ideas. And the first one really is that because we are in a relationship with our children, both the child and the parent need to feel or have an opportunity to be heard and, where possible, understood.
So just go back there again. Parents have the opportunity to be heard.
That's right. It is a relationship. So both the child, which is really important, and the parent has the opportunity to be heard and understood. So often children are not able to express their point of view, and parents don't take the time to explain their point of view, or they over-explain it.
Yes.
So they spend way too much time and they've lost their child. I can tell you right now, every time that I go into a deep lecture, I've lost them. And my husband will say to me, you need to stop. They're not listening
anymore. I can, yeah, been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's about using really clear language to make sure that what your expectations are clear, that you're being heard. But the important thing here is that children need to have a voice too. So they need to be able to express their point of view, whether you want to hear that or not, whether it is something that you don't agree with or not, that's not the point. The point is that they're allowed to express their point of view. And then you have a conversation about that.
Okay. So then number two is that children have the freedom to feel their emotions. And that just links directly in that. So if they're able to be heard and understood without judgment, I think that's really important. It's our job to help them express those feelings in a way that is respectful and safe. We want our children to be coming to us with their problems.
That's exactly
right. So denying children that ability to feel their emotions is just going to cause more long-term damage, like particularly their ability to empathize with others. It's critically important to our human connection and our ability to just get along in the world.
Absolutely. So it's one of those things that we hear, and you'll hear it a lot. Get up, you're okay.
Stop crying.
Why are you upset about that? You shouldn't be crying over that.
That didn't hurt.
Yeah, that is a big one. It's when children fall over and an adult will say, you're okay, when clearly...
Oh, it breaks my heart. Mm. So if I fell over and like that and I had blood coming off my knees, I would want to cry.
Yeah. We feel like we want to do something.
Yes.
It's a distraction. We want to make sure that they're not going to fall into a pity party I think that's the motive behind it. But realistically, what we're doing is we're gaslighting their experience.
Okay, so just to go back there, because I know a lot of people haven't heard the term gaslighting before, and it's something that our culture does a lot, and I don't even think that we realise that we're doing it a lot of the time.
Yeah, so gaslighting is a form of manipulation into making people feel like their lived experience isn't real. So we do it a lot with children. It coming from a place of distraction a lot of the time, but we dismiss their feelings and their perspectives a lot because we feel like we know better as adults. But we do need to have conversations with our children so that we can start to unpack why they might be thinking or feeling a certain way instead of telling them how they should think and feel or not think. So if we go back to the third idea of respectful communication or parenting, is that we really need to state our expectations clearly, but also with purpose. So that means we need to set boundaries with ourselves and our children in a way that they can understand, but with compassion in mind. So, you know, keeping that in mind at all times, even if we have to be firm, and to also think about the purpose. So we're reflecting on and questioning our expectations so that they're fair and that they're developmentally appropriate.
Yes. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. The reason I was giggling was because we both had our children come and interrupt this recording.
Yeah.
It just made me think, what about my expectations weren't clear or purposeful? But I realised that today I skipped that whole section of I did tell them, okay, I'm going to be recording, but I didn't set my clear expectations.
And I did the same thing. I've done it before, and when I've said it really clearly, we both commented, oh my goodness, they were so great. We didn't hear from them the whole time. And then I didn't state that clearly at all today.
Same.
And it was almost simultaneous. Both of us had children come in at the exact same time. And again, because we didn't state that expectation really clearly. Mm. And also the one thing I also want to emphasize again is that, are your expectations fair and are they developmentally appropriate? Because I reflect a lot on some of the things that I expected of my eldest daughter, and I wonder about whether I expect that from my youngest daughter at the same age now. So setting those expectations, questioning them all the time and changing them. Have you got another one coming in?
Sorry, my kids just Yeah, which is making me think, so I've got the trying not to laugh out loud, is making my eyes water, was that right now, is this developmentally appropriate for me to be expecting my children to not interrupt me for an hour?
Mm.
Probably not.
And the thing is, because sometimes they do it. Sometimes they're so engaged in what they're doing, it's probably got nothing to do with our expectations at all. And the fact that they're busy playing and doing their own, they're engaged in whatever activity they're doing, it's got nothing to do with the fact that they're respecting a boundary of being placed.
But I also didn't check. It was that whole, what are they engaged in? If they're not engaged, could I put a little invitation to play out? So this was really good reminder for me today.
And that's and that's exactly that. It's about surrounding yourself with people and having conversations so that you do get that reminder, because otherwise the main influences that we see are authoritarian influences. They're exerting a control on children wherever possible. And we slip into those very quickly because that's our conditioning. Okay, so the fourth part of respectful communication is that we really need to start to empower children to solve their own problems. Far too often, parents come in and we give them the solutions or what we believe is the best way to solve the problem. So you're going to do this and you're going to do this, and that's how we're going to do this.
And equitably. That will just end it quickly.
It will end it quickly, and that's what we're looking for, quick, sharp solutions. But I think it's important to remember our long-term goals here, that we're trying to teach our children how to communicate their needs and feelings. So we just ask them a few questions, like, number one, how does that make you feel?
Yes.
The big one that I use a lot is, have you told them that? Like when they come to you with, my brother has gone and said this to me, do you know that my sister's done this to me and blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, have you told them that? Have you told them how you feel? And I mean, it's not always going to solve them their problems, but it's just redirecting them to actually focus their energy to the people that they're in conflict with. They need to work out these problems with each other, and they need, and then that way we can practice that language and they practice that conflict resolution skill set as well.
And 9 times out of 10, we find now that if they do go and tell the other child their problem and how they feel about it, generally the child will stop because the children are empathetic. If they're saying, you hurt my feelings and I feel really sad, you can literally see the child go, I didn't know that, sorry.
Yeah, and then that way they will come to more of a compromise that makes everyone happy. There's some language and some questions that we can use to pull and tease apart the root of the problem, and then they can start to think, well, how do you think you can solve this problem? How do you think the other person does? What do you think the other person would like you to do in this situation?
I think that's really important to focus on there, is that this allows children to learn from their mistakes and to understand the consequences of their actions. So going back to that example, if a child approaches the person that's upset them, you're more likely to get a genuine apology because they genuinely understand, because it's not coming from this authoritarian parent, it's coming from a child that they like and respect. They don't want to hurt their friends, so.
Yeah, too, when we frame it in the terms of punishment, is that children can sometimes see some injustice in punishment as opposed to focusing on the problem at hand. So when we give them tools, we help them to grow. When we enforce control on them through punishment, we trap them in a cycle of self-pity and the injustice, and they're not looking within and looking at how we can change our own behaviours and express what we need so that we can get what we want and have our needs met in the future, which is ideally what communication is about making sure everyone's needs are met.
I mean, when do we get back to it? Do we want to raise kids that blindly obey, or do we want to raise children that have the courage to make the right choice for the right reasons?
Yes, and I think that is a really important point that you bring up. I was a blind obeyer of rules as a child.
Same.
And I have had to unpack that. And so we have to ask ourselves, how do we get to this place where punishment and shame is the norm? The answer to that is that we have been subjected to a lot of social conditioning.
Yeah, and as have our parents and parents' parents.
That's
parents.
And we are just so lucky and just so privileged to now have access to this information that no one before us has had access to, which is absolutely amazing, because we can then start to break apart, like, what are the methods we've been using, the harsh words and the shame-filled statements that we grew up with. We can now start to see that they are harmful.
I just want to butt in here and say that one of the main reasons I actually joined Vicky's play group right at the start of all the Wildlings was that I just was so wowed and so respectful of the way that she spoke to her children. And I hadn't seen that done in many other places, and I wanted to be around that. So young parent me again wants to thank you for being a role model, because if we can't see it, we can't be it. So thank you.
No, well, thank you for saying that. And I would have to say that I've had influences in the same way, other friends and my sister who modeled this for me, which then makes it easier for me to use then hopefully, like you say, it starts to catch on. It's really important for us.
Like a good virus.
It is. And it's exactly what we're talking about modeling for our children. We're also modeling it for other parents. We react because the part of our brain that just wants to stay in control we're triggered in some way.
Mm.
That part of us comes out first without thinking. And it's then not modeling exactly what we are hoping to get from our children.
No, it's that T-Rex brain.
All that expectation.
Albert Einstein brain.
Yeah, our reptilian brain, yeah.
Yeah, we need to train it.
That's
to,
right.
Not respond to fear, but to respond
That's
to love.
That's right. And I like to keep in mind the idea that discipline, the root word of discipline, actually comes from the meaning of to teach.
Ooh, can you repeat that? That's really important.
Yeah, so the word discipline, which is what this all embodies, comes from the root word to teach. What we are trying to do with our children is to teach them. That is what I want to keep in mind. I don't want to use discipline as a synonym for punishment, which is a different thing altogether. So this is about being a role model.
And that requires a lot of work.
Yeah. So what we're suggesting here is a very conscious and difficult way of parenting and communicating with kids. It becomes easier. It's difficult because we're having to change patterns and we're having to change everything that we know and that we've been taught and that we continue to see. Or, you know, that's what's filtering through a lot of the time. So the more that we can change that language, the better we are at changing that overall discourse in how we treat children.
Some of the ways we can do this when we're in that situation is to pause and take a breath, but then ask ourselves that question is, why am I getting so emotional and upset about this?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And really just start to unpack that, because I know when I start the first why, it's like, well, he's doing that. Mm-hmm. that's not the answer. We need to go deeper again.
That's right.
Well, he's doing that and that's triggering me because when I grew up, we weren't allowed to do that. And it's as simple as that, whether we agree with that or not anymore.
You start to recognize even when other people get angry about something and I think, well, I don't normally get angry about that. Why is it that that is really triggering them? That doesn't trigger me. However, that person seems to cruise like with their child at the supermarket, and that is not a situation that I cruise through. That is a massive trigger for me. And when you do that inner work and you work out why, and I have done a lot of soul searching and reflecting on why is it that I don't handle situations where I'm being continually bombarded with requests for things at the supermarket or the shops.
It's triggering me thinking about it.
There's some inner work that I have to do there, because when I start to think about expectations and the personality of my children and all these other factors, it isn't about them. It is about me and what.
But it's also making sure we're setting up those expectations to begin with. And I know that I don't, because it's so routine.
Yep.
And you've said it 1,000 times and why don't you know this already? So it's all of those tricks again.
Yeah. It is. And that's why it becomes difficult, because there's no easy way out. There's no quick, simple solution feels like it works straight away, because it is a long road, because the end goal is a long goal. It's not a short-term goal.
A long-term goal is healthy human beings that can participate fully and openly and vulnerably in their relationship.
At the end of the day, we need to keep in mind that we are really on the same side as our children, and that my children deserve to be heard and understood. And I need to make time to make sure that I validate that. I might not do it all the time and I might not do it perfectly, but I do it enough to see that they are learning how to do that and to reciprocate that for me in times when I do need it.
I love it when they come to expect it. Mine are at that point now, that when they come to me and I can ask them, I was like, do you need me to help, or do you need me to just give you a cuddle and listen? And they're like, just need you to listen.
Yeah, exactly. They know exactly how to guide you in what they need, which is
And they expect that. And to the point now that if I start interrupting, like, I just want to tell you how I feel.
Yeah, you're not listening to me. You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, some people might see that as back chat, but to me, that's my children reminding me that I'm not perfect and that I do need to take my own advice.
Well, that's them very clearly stating to you what they actually need from you. What more could we want from our kids or from people?
And I love this quote from Ella Nost, beautiful parenting author, who says, one day your child will make a mistake or a bad choice and will run to you instead of away from you. And in that moment, you will know the immense value of peaceful, positive and respectful parenting.
So if the idea of respectful communication and respectful parenting has piqued your interest, even just a little, and you're ready to learn more, you can just jump onto our website. It's www.wildlingsforestschool.com/raisingwildlings5 for episode 5. And from there, you can download our Words of Validation and Empathy printable. Now, I've got that stuck on my fridge laminated because I need that reminder. I need the reminder of ways that I can turn around phrases from being more critical and judgmental to those words of empathy and validation. Next week, we have the privilege of speaking to Robin Grill. Now, Robin is a psychiatrist, psychologist, and he's the author of a couple of parenting books. My favourite when my kids were young was Heart to Heart Parenting. I loved it. It just enabled me to finally listen to my intuition rather than perhaps mainstream parenting ideas that weren't sitting with me and just frankly weren't working with my children at the time. But we're exploring his new book called Inner Child Journeys, and it's really apt with the respectful communication because it talks about how we break down the actions that trigger us, that children trigger us, and how that goes back to how we were parented and how we can break out of that cycle.
That sounds so exciting. We can't wait to listen to that one next week. Thank you so much for joining us as we discuss a respectful communication with you today. It really is the centre of our work, and we'd be so grateful if you could share the love on your socials, subscribe or follow us on your podcast platform of choice. And we really love doing this journey with you. So until next time, stay wild.
If you enjoyed this episode of Raising Wildlings, then we invite you to check out Your Wild Business, our signature business course for education changemakers who are ready to create or refine their own nature play businesses. Your Wild Business is the only program that focuses on the business side of nature play, with sustainable practices, processes, and systems that will cut down your admin work, giving you more time to focus on building a business that is centered around your educational philosophies whilst working around the current legislation and red tape. And you'll become a part of our wonderful community of other education changemakers leaping forward into the big, wide world of business. We'd love for you to be a part of it. So why not come and check out Your Wild Business on the Raising Wildlings website today?